Morning, James. How are you?
Doing very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, going very well. Great to have you on the Big Sports Breakfast. Now, you've been in the role since January. How would you describe the last 4 months?
It's been very exciting, I would say. I've seen the Olerus and the Matildas qualify for the Olympic Games. We've had FIFA over here to inspect Australia and New Zealand as a possible Women's World Cup host in 2023. And football at all levels has shut down, so I think I've seen it all.
Yeah, it's certainly the case in this short space of time. But you know, you had extensive playing experience and administration experience provided prior to taking this role. Just give us a little bit of your background and the lead up professionally into becoming the CEO of the FFA.
So I played all the way through youth levels from grassroots up to youth national teams. I played a little bit in the professional ranks in Australia and also outside Australia and Asia. Administratively, I started working for the Players Union here in Australia. Then I moved to the Asian Football Confederation, then FIFA, and then over to the UK, where I was with Manchester City. And I'm excited to be home after 10 years of working abroad and bringing back some insight and knowledge that's been developed outside in other parts of the world in football.
Yeah, James, it's been a pretty brutal time for sport all around the world, and the A-League was right in the heart of its season. What's been the biggest challenge for the FFA through the COVID-19 situation?
Well, I think the first challenge for us has been international football. We were really dealing with these challenges pretty much the first week I was in office here in late January, when we had to take a decision about whether we send our Matildas up to Wuhan, which is where the Olympic qualifiers were supposed to be. And of course, Wuhan was the start of the breakout. So really, the big challenge for us at the moment on the national team front is the calendar for both men and women's football, the international calendar. It doesn't look like we're going to see a lot of national team football in 2020, but 2021, I think, will be a big year. And then on the domestic side, we've obviously had to suspend for now football at grassroots level and also the A-League. So the challenge at the moment, to put it simply, is really getting football at all levels started again.
And James, where are we at with that? We're seeing the NRL start up again May 28. Where's the A-League at?
So we're looking at options to restart the league at the moment. We're at a different time of our season compared to the NRL and also the AFL. We've got 27 fixtures or matches left till the end of the season, and then a final series. So we're actually at the back end of the season. Our sport's a little bit more complicated, I would say, than NRL, in that we cross more state borders, state and territory borders within Australia, and we also have a more global element to the sport in that each team has players that are foreign, and each team, or a lot of the teams, also have foreign coaches. So for us, it will take a little bit longer to get all the players back, all the coaches back, and get all the players into an area of Australia that we can be confident that the league will start again. We're looking at options, possibly restarting in June, July and August. That's what we're looking at the moment. But we'll be making a further announcement in the latter part of May about our concrete plans.
James, can I also congratulate you on starting up this starting 11? Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. The starting 11 is something that's been in the pipeline for some time. It's really, for me personally, it's really important that this organisation puts the sport at the very heart, and we want to be known as a football first organisation. And what better way can we do it than to actually have people that have a rich knowledge of the sport, a deep understanding of the sport, former players, both men and women, and former coaches who know the sport back to front. So this panel is an advisory panel. It's an advisory panel that sits under what we call the Football Development Committee. And I believe this will be a meaningful panel that will really help us tackle some of the big football issues that confront the game at the moment, from cost of football to pathways to development, all the way up to the performance of the national teams. This is what this panel is about.
We're speaking to James Johnson, the Football Federation Australia Chief Executive. James, how damaged was the FFA's relationship with Foxtel, and how confident are you that you have their support going forward?
There's no damage. The relations with Foxtel are fine. We've got a good partner that we've had for 15 years now, and at the moment the focus is on restarting the season, and we're working with Foxtel on a daily basis to look at how we can resume and when we can resume.
James, one of the biggest criticisms we receive on this show is the cost at the junior level, either for just the local comps or representative camps and things like that. Is that something that you're looking to fix, or is that just be part of the norm still going forward?
No, absolutely. It's one of the highest priorities, certainly on my agenda. What we need to do is we need to ensure that the cost of football doesn't exclude participants. And if you look at some of the top football nations around the world, Brazil, for example, what they have is they have a very big pool of players playing at the highest level of competition. So if the cost of football is not allowing us to reach our maximum participation numbers, then that's something we need to fix immediately.
And James, as far as this A-League season is concerned, I understand the A-League's run by other people, but what is the absolute limit as far as contractually when the season can end? And how much room have you got to complete the season, considering the impact on next season?
Well, the practical reality is we want to finish the season as soon as possible, because we want to ensure there's a connection between the time we stopped and when we would restart. So that is important from an integrity standpoint. The reality is that next season is supposed to start in October. So really, if we don't get going in between June and August, then we're starting to push off against the start of the next season. So we don't want the resumption of the 19-20 season to push the 2021 season back any further.
James, what was your reaction on Sunday morning when we all woke and we heard about the Premier League coming to Australia and being played in Perth? Obviously, we were all excited, and then we thought about it and thought, oh, geez, this is probably highly unlikely. But have you had any contact with anyone over there in England, and what's the likelihood of it actually happening?
Well, given I've just come out of the Premier League circles with Manchester City, I'm in regular contact with a lot of colleagues in both clubland in the Premier League and also the Premier League itself. And I've had no conversations whatsoever about this option. Like you, I read about it in the papers and thought it was quite amusing, but there's been no contact between FFA and the Premier League on this issue. It is a very nice story, though, I must admit.
Yeah, it certainly is.
Yeah, we're excited. Yeah.
Surprise, surprise.
20 English Premier League clubs coming to Australia and playing 92 games. I mean,
yeah, what could go wrong?
Unbelievable. Yeah. James, as far as, I mean, you spoke about the starting 11, and plenty has been made about breakdown in the pathways for talent in the men's system in Australia. The women's pathways seem to be working really nicely. I mean, what do you make of the talent identification in Australia at the moment?
I think this is, if we compare ourselves globally, which we should, because ultimately that's a good measurement stick, I think we have a lot of room to improve, and I think there's an opportunity to do that. If you look at the FIFA world rankings in the men's, and you look at the top six countries in the world, you talk about Belgium, who's number one, Croatia, who is number six, and Uruguay, who's number five, right? And if you aggregate all their registered players together, those three countries in the top six, we actually have more participants than they do. So this, for me, is an area that we can certainly improve. We've got a good number. But how do we actually improve our structures, improve our pathways, improve our academy programs, our coaching? I think if we can get these things right, we can really become a nation that's known for the production of talent, and that's something that I think is practically in our ability.
Well, James, it's been an eventful 4 months, to say the least. We've really appreciated giving us some of your time on the Big Sports Breakfast this morning, and good luck going forward.
You're welcome, gentlemen, and thanks a lot for having us.
James Johnson there, the CEO of Football Federation Australia.